الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لو بني مسجدي هذا إلى صنعاء كان مسجدي. رواه الديلمي، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درشي بالله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey to Madinatul Munawwara, which is known as the Hijrat of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marks the two different points of Haqq and Batil. Haqq as in the truth, Batil as in falsehood. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned earlier on in the early sessions, that when he left Makkatul Mukarramah, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent a few days in the cave of Thawr, Ghar Thawr. He stayed there for 3 days. From Ghar Thawr, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his journey. He visited the family of Hazrat Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha, the old lady living in that part of the region, expecting Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming to visit her. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his safar for Hijrat. She was living there with her husband, and she did khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, providing milk for Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam. After visiting Hazrat Ma'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his journey towards Madinatul Munawwara until he got to the area of Quba. The people of Quba are known as the Ansari companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there for 3-4 days. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he stay in Quba, also laid down the foundation of Masjid Quba. And the Haji and the Zaireen who go and visit Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, all of them also visit Masjid Quba. An incredible masjid, Masjid Quba. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that anyone who performs 2 rakats in Masjid Quba gets the reward of 1 complete Umrah. After spending time with the people of Quba, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam continued his journey. Just before reaching Madinatul Munawwara, the first Jummah was led by Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, and then Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwara. Incredible city. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi, a great buzurg, he was in his habit that miles before coming to Madinatul Munawwara, he would walk it, and he would walk it to Madinatul Munawwara barefoot, out of respect of the city of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to Madinatul Munawwara, it was Hazrat Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, the grand companion who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen for him to serve and make khidmat of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. It was his house. As mentioned in the last session, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed on the ground floor and he was on the top floor. And then later on, it was the decision of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, Absalallahu alayhi wa salam said to him, it would be better if I take the top floor and you stay on the ground floor with your mother. And Absalallahu alayhi wa salam stayed there. The history behind the house of Hazrat Ayyub Ansari was also mentioned, touched on. That was a gift given to Absalallahu alayhi wa salam. Or a house that was reserved for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the king of Yemen, whose name was Tubba'. That is why the Yemeni people are known as Aslul Arab. Aslul Arab, the real Arabs. And the 400 scholars that came from Yemen settled in Madinatul Munawwara, and majority of the Ansari companions are the children of these 400 great scholars. All of them were great ulama, great scholars. So basically the house in which Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was staying was none other than his own house. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for Huzur alayhi salatu was salam. And this again is the mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we continue, one must remember that the two cities, Makkah and Madinatul Munawwara, are completely different in every aspect. Until today, when you visit the city of Makkatul Mukarrama, Makkah is a hustling, bustling, very fast city, and the Meccans, the people of Makkah, are very hot-tempered. So when you go to the shop, they are really not bothered if you buy anything or not. You have to ask them for them to come back to you. So many people go there, alhamdulillah. They are all very, very independent people. They're not bothered if you walk out. And hot-tempered people, Makkatul Mukarrama. When you go to Madinatul Munawwara, everything is easy, mashallah. Tranquility, the sukoon is completely different, subhanallah. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the difference was the city of Makkah, the citizens of Makkatul Mukarrama at that time, those who were of course not the Sahabi, the non-companions, were all mushrikeen, the polytheists worshipping Lat and Uzza, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, the pattharo ki puja karne wale, jaise ye Hindu log karte. All of them were mushrikeen, well cultured, deeply cultured into the system of Jahiliyyah. Very proud and arrogant people, stone-hearted people. Absalallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the midst of these strong character people. And in Madinatul Munawwara, the difference was that those who were not the Ansari companions were either of Jewish origin or they were Christians. Majority of them, as mentioned even in Dars-e-Quran, the ulama have said that at least when Absalallahu alayhi wa sallam got to Madinatul Munawwara, at that time 40% of the citizens in Madinatul Munawwara were Jews. Kitane? 40%. Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nazir and Banu Qurayza, the three main tribes of the Jews, had already settled in Madinatul Munawwara, and they were controlling the money market in Madinatul Munawwara and in other cities around Arabia. They were basically Jews and some were Christians. Subhanallah, when Absalallahu alayhi wa sallam got to Madinatul Munawwara, the Jews felt threatened straight away by, especially when the news broke out to them that Absalallahu alayhi wa sallam's intention is to make the city of Madinatul Munawwara the capital city of Islam. Bhai to unka wuzu toot gaya. They found it very, very difficult. And great lesson is to be learned in the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the system of khilafat. We talk about khilafat, khilafat, khilafat. But what is khilafat? we have to understand the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam promoted Islam when he got to Madinatul Munawwara. There was a split in the community, of the Jewish community and the Christian community, when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam got there. Some of the Jews were not even prepared to see the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They knew that slowly power will be taken away from them. And some of the Jews, who were not arrogant at that time, some of the learned scholars, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give hidayah to, were soft and lenient, and they would approach Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. They were prepared to dialogue with Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. The Najjari Christians were prepared to dialogue with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam did not cut them off in any way. In any way at all. Subhanallah. The great blow to the Jewish community when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam got there was the Islam of Abdullah bin Salam, the highest ranked Jewish alim in Madinatul Munawwara. Was Abdullah bin Salam. And Allah gave him hidayah. The most honorable. If Abdullah bin Salam gave a fatwa to the Jews, that was it. Like in Saudi Arabia, marhum, Abdullah bin Baz was the grand mufti of Saudi Arabia. He was blind. He was a man who had a lot of knowledge. He was the grand mufti. So at that time for the Jewish community, Abdullah bin Salam was the ultimate, finished. Everything ended at Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam. And subhanallah, that name, brothers might be wondering that how can a Jewish man's name be Abdullah? Brothers must remember that the Arabs and the Jews that were living there were very closely linked, and the mother tongue of the Jews at that time was also Arabic, and they were influenced. Aapne dekha hoga, those who came from Mozambique to Portugal, those who came from Mozambique to Portugal, they had two names. One was the Portuguese name, and one was the Muslim name. And the Portuguese people were strong Orthodox Christians, Catholic Christians, until today, very strong Christians. Very strong, Catholic Christians. They would not allow any name unless it was a Christian name. So if a child was born in the early stages, early time when the Portuguese were there, most of the Muslims had Christian names. In the case of Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu ta'ala, and his name was Hussein. Kya naam tha pehle? Hussein. Not the Hassan and Hussein that we are familiar with. Hassan and Hussein is with the letter Seen, the grandsons of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Hussein here, Hussein is of Saud. And Hussein was a Jewish name. And he was from the children of, from the descendants of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They say, humare yahan Sayyid ko hum bahut respect karte hain. Sayyid Saab, Sayyid Saab. And unfortunately, in some parts of India and Pakistan, a Sayyid can do whatever he wants. He can steal, he can give fatwa, they can do absolutely what they want on the fact that they are Sayyid and mashallah they are peers. So because they are Sayyid and they are peer, mashallah, you're not allowed to say anything to them. Anything whatsoever. And they have this fear inside them. This is the system of Jahiliyyah. This is the system of Jahiliyyah. We should break that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only judges a person by his taqwa. Only by his taqwa. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, when he embraced Islam, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam gave him that name, which was Abdullah. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam said to him, you are not Hussein, but you are Abdullah. That is why in the hadith, in Mishkat Sharif, Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the two names that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Abdul Rahman and Abdullah. Abdul Rahman and Abdullah. Always choose the right name. It should have Arabic origins, then that name will be correct. If it is Farsi, then again it's very, very difficult to tell. It's always nice to name your child under the name of pious people, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Asma'ul Husna. And that is why Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was so meticulous all the time. He would say, Ma ismuka, what is your name? Ma ismuka, what is your name? And if the name was not right, in that majlis, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would change it. Aditya, yeah, you tell some of the people, your name is not right, and they say, oh well, Malana, what can we do? There's a formality that we have to go through if we have to change the name, and it's a difficult process. It's not a difficult process at all, especially in this country, mashallah. So if you know that your name is wrong, then you change it straight away. Mufti Taqi Sahib has written a book. In fact, his son has written a book, and in the muqaddama of that, they are a list of names which are not right and are prevalent in the Muslim society. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, he embraced Islam, and his Islam was also incredible. He climbed up a date tree when Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the city of Madinatul Munawwara, so he can have a clear view at the face of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. And he was a grand scholar, a grand alim. When he saw the face of Huzur alayhi salam, he says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَهُ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهٍ كَذَّابٍ. When I saw the face of Huzur alayhi salam, I realized that this was not the face of an imposter. And he said to his auntie that was there, that this is the face that resembles the face of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And brothers might remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his tajalli to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he requested that, I want to see you. He said that the face of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam became such that it was virtually impossible for Banu Israel to see his face directly. That was the noor that came up on the face of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's noor was such also. He said that the very first words of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam that Abdullah bin Salam heard, and this hadith is narrated in the Sunan of Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayh, he says that Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Ayyuhan nas, O people, because the Jews were there at that time and also the Christians were there, at'imu ta'am, give food to the needy people. أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَفْشُ السَّلَامُ, and spread the system of salam, Islamic greeting. And this is only exclusive for the believers. It is not jais to make salam to a kafir. The word salam is the name of Allah, and it is only appropriate on someone who is a believer, who is a firm believer of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to the companions that were there, وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ, and make ties, don't break off relationship. رِشْتِدَارِي ko baki rakho, qata rahmi na karo. رِشْتِدَارِي ko baki rakho. And this is very, very important. Today we have two brothers not talking with each other, three brothers not talking with each other, two sisters not talking with each other. One must always make salam. It is different that if one is in the habit of making a lot of fitna. When there are some people who are 15, who have this habit that when they are in front of you, they talk to you something, and when they turn their backs to you and go to someone else, then they will talk about you to that person. So we have to be careful. Other than that, the general law is that at least when you see your Muslim brother, one must not turn his face away, he must say, Assalamu alaikum. There was one slave that was being sold at a very cheap price. This waqia is written in the kitabs, as a lesson for all of us. And some of the people that were interested in that individual, they saw that this slave, mashallah, ghulam, was a young man, very, very strong. Like when they saw Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, they sold him at a very cheap price. This is what the Quran is saying. And he was a beautiful individual, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam ki khubsurti. The master was there, the owner of that slave. So the people there who were interested said that, why are you selling him so cheap? And very truthfully the owner said that, well, he has this habit that he is like a hypocrite, qattatun, a two-faced person. Idhar ki baat udhar, udhar ki baat idhar. And this man individual says that, okay, kya hai isme, if he's a two-faced, there's no problem. I've got nothing to do with it. As long as he serves me, it is enough. I'm getting a bargain here. I'll get in a bargain. Kuch paise de diye. MashaAllah, this two-faced slave comes to the house. And MashaAllah, what happens now? That the husband and wife are there. All the time I say, my brothers, we must make sure of who the maharim are and who the ghair mahram are. Today we have lost out in this. The divorce, the talaq, subhanallah. We have gone so low, that there is one brother who is messing around with the wife of the other brother. And this is in the Muslim communities. Why? Kyun mere aziz? Kyun? First of all, the husband is not bothered. The husband is absolutely under the thumb of his wife. If the wife says stand, he will stand. If the wife says sit, he will sit. Koi jazbai nahi. And the other thing is that the woman has no sense at all, no Islamic understanding. Thori si baat mein jhagra, thori si baat mein jhagra, Allahu Akbar. And that is why Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once performed ghusl and entered the masjid. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's auspicious hair was wet. The companions realized and they said, Ya Rasulullah, that today you seem to be in a good mood. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, alhamdulillah. Whatever you want to ask me, ask me. The companions were there talking about on different subjects. And some of them said that, who is the best woman? Bahut acha sawal hai na, who is the best woman? Hamare zamane mein kaun si achhi aurat? Some of the companions gave their own understanding of who that woman should be, the description of that pious lady, kaisi honi chahiye. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an went to his chamber in his room, which was again very close to the masjid, that is where Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was staying. As he entered, he said to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha that there is a topic that is being discussed in the masjid while Huzur alayhi salam is there, that who is the pious lady, the right lady for an individual. What is the description of a lady who is pious? Hazrat Fatima said to Hazrat Ali, do you want me to answer that question for you? And some of the ladies have this habit that they talk very, very loud. Very loud. This is not the shan of a woman. This does not fit a woman. Subhanallah. They go into shops and they freely talk with men there. And the men freely talk with women there. Subhanallah. Which is all wrong. And the men who have shops have this habit that, okay, that lady so and so is our customer and she comes all the time. And when she doesn't come for 2-3 days, oh, khala, I haven't seen you for a few days. Jaise ki tum apni biwi se baat kar rahe ho. I haven't seen you for a few days. No sharm o haya, subhanallah. Allah give us the tawfiq. We are not Christians. We are not Jews. We are not Hindus. We are not Sikhs. We are not atheists. We are Muslims. We bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we respect the Sharia of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then crying will be too late, my respected brothers. Burana mane. Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha gave a beautiful answer. She says to the husband, Hazrat Ali, go in the masjid and say to the companions, the best woman is that woman who saves herself from approaching ghair maharim, and the best woman is that woman who saves herself from a ghair mahram to see her. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brother? One is also that the woman is very careful to be in that environment. And the other, mashallah, answer to this is that she should not be in that environment where a man wants to talk to her freely. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali went to the masjid and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is saying. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, who else can have a better answer than my daughter? And he says, Fatima, baz'atu minni. Fatima, to mere jigar ka tukra hai. Oh, my respected brothers. That is why get married very, very quickly. Foran shadi kar leni chahiye. 16, 17 years ka bachcha ho jaye, fikr ho. Foran. The father has got a responsibility. The mother has got a responsibility. They should be restless. 16 and find a good lady. Foran nikah ho jaye. Jis shahar mein nikah aam, us shahar mein zina kam. Where are we from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where are we? What is the lifestyle of Sahaba Kiram Ajmain and how far are we? Oh, the sunnah we know is miswak. What sunnah do we know? Ye miswak, mashallah. The other sunnah we know is beard. Subhanallah. Sunnah is the complete lifestyle of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we were talking about this two-faced person. And he was a slave, now he comes to this house. And the husband and wife is there now. He wants to break the husband and wife, the love that they have. So the slave is saying to the wife, you let your husband go out very, very freely. Do you know what he does when he is out there? Musa bhai? Putting shukuk and suspicion inside. I think that he is going out with another lady. So the slave says to her that I'm a learned person and I know how you can have your husband back. And this is what women do. Remember, it is haram for women to make these kind of wazifas, that the husband should be completely under their thumb. This is haram. If a man is giving the haqq, it is kafi. It is not jais for a man to do such a ta'weez for a woman, and it is not jais for a woman to do such ta'weez for a man. Maine aapko pehle kaha tha, Portugal mein there was this bichari, ek aurat thi Hindu, usko jo hai ta'weez chahiye tha. How can you give a ta'weez to a Hindu lady with all this mashallah ayats of the Quran through this other person that came in the masjid, and this boy was related to this woman, and subhanallah, just wrote the name of Allah and gave it, and after a bit she said everything has changed for me, and mashallah, the husband listens to me now. So the wife now is in doubt of this husband, that the husband has ta'alluq with another woman and he's doing zina. And then he's saying to the lady that, do me one favor, when your husband is sleeping, I want the hair from the beard, but from the beard that is close to the neck. Daddy, dekhi na Abdul Qadir from him. Daddy munda ho to sawal hi nahi paida hota. No beard, no nothing. A man is a man who has a beard. A man is a man who has a beard. MashaAllah, the Afghanistani logo ko dekho, chalte hai to dekh, like, MashaAllah, you lage ki koi mard chal raha hai. So, I want this part of the hair. So when your husband is sleeping in the night, quietly take some scissors while he is sleeping, kharrata le raha, and cut the hair from the bottom section of the beard. And if I have that hair, I will glow and make taweez and pray, and your husband will be yours. And this is jadu also. Yes. If you remember in the story of, well, in the case of Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas and Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, the Jews that were against Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, and they had hasad, and they wanted to do jadu against Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was done through the hair. So in the night you have to do this. So she was all prepared. Then he went to the husband. He says, "Ah, mister, you don't know anything about your missus, do you? Your missus has a grand plan for you. I think she wants to kill you, assassinate you tonight. Why? Because she has found another Romeo. She's tired of you now. She doesn't want you. She is going out with somebody else. So she has to get rid of you first. And I think tonight is the night in which she will carry out this murder." So the husband is saying, "Are you sure 100%? The slave is saying, "Be careful, just don't sleep in the night." Dekhen hai, aurat ki makkari kaise hoti hai, Allah ho jo. Aurte naraaz na ho, we got a grand mashallah program for them tomorrow. My mothers and sisters, don't take no offense. Allahu Akbar. When our mothers and the women folks have this understanding of Islam, they excel even much more than the men folks. And they become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the sahabiyat. In the night the husband is now sleeping, pretending that he is asleep, turns his face away. MashaAllah, after the few hours, the wife wakes up, picks up the scissor, and looks at the husband's face, that the husband is sleeping, MashaAllah, slowly grips the beard, looks down, finds the right spot where the hair should be collected. And the husband was not asleep at all. And he opened up his eyes, and the lady got the shock. And the husband got so angry, got hold of her, and said, that gulam, that slave that was telling me that you are planning to kill me, he was right. And he started to beat her and hit her, so much so that she passed away. Itna mara usko, ki wo bichari sinfe zaif ka intiqal ho chuka. Now the slave went to the in-laws, the mother and the father and the brother of the lady, that, "Do you know what has happened? That your son-in-law has killed and has murdered your daughter." And then the in-laws came, aur unhone itna mara peeta, subhanallah, that the husband also died. And everything ends here because of one slave who was sold in the market at a very cheap price. Why? Because he had this sickness inside him of qattat, a two-faced person. And this is how dangerous these people can be. That is why we have to be very, very careful. So Abdullah bin Salam embraced Islam, and he said to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam that the Jewish people have no value of the tongue. I want you to invite them, Ya Rasulullah, and I will be behind you in the room when you invite them. And you say to them that if Abdullah bin Salam became a Muslim, what is your opinion? And then I will come out. Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited the elite Jews that were there. One must remember that the close family members of Abdullah bin Salam all became Muslims by the da'wah of Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam. When the Jews came to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, Sallallahu alayhi wasalam said to them that if I say to you that Abdullah has become a Muslim, what would your opinion be? They said, Ya Rasulullah. They didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, as in we are saying as Muslims, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam ko to ye log naam se pukarte the. So Abdullah is the highest ranked scholar in Medina. He is our leader and the son of our leader. It is impossible for him to become a Muslim. But if he has become a Muslim, we will all become Muslims. Saying that, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala and came out and he said to the Jewish people, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. What was the response from the Jewish community? That Abdullah bin Salam is the most evil person in Madinatul Munawwara, the most illiterate person in Madinatul Munawwara, the worst person and the son of the worst person. And they changed straight away. Allahu Akbar. And it was a great blow for the Jewish community when Abdullah bin Salam embraced Islam. Two people. One was Abdullah bin Salam, the highest ranked alim in Medina, and the other alim who was also highly rated was Maymun bin Yamin. He was another great scholar, and the ulama say it is a coincidence that his story of Iman and Islam is absolutely the same as Abdullah bin Salam. He even saw the face of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, this is not the face of an imposter. And he uttered the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he again said to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah, invite so and so people connected to that tribe, to that tribe, to that tribe. I will be hiding behind the chamber, behind your room. And when you invite them to Islam, take my name and I will come to them and read the Shahada in front of them. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne kitni mehnat. Look at the work of da'wat that he did. It was a task in Makkatul Mukarramah. It was the mushrikeen that were the enemies. And now when Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to Madinatul Munawwara, the enemies are the Jews and Christians with the money power that they had in Madinatul Munawwara. When the Jews arrived again, Maymun bin Yamin was in the house. Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And they refused. They said, just say, if Maymun bin Yamin was to embrace Islam, he says, if Maymun was to embrace Islam, we would all embrace Islam. Saying that as Maymun came out, and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, same answer. Maymun bin Yamin, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done something, some form of jadu. And this is, again, another sickness inside us. If someone becomes positive in something and changes his opinion, which might be something distasteful to someone in front, they will say, "Ji, isko kisi ne kuch kiya hai. Isko kisi ne kuch kiya hai." La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if Allah will, in the next session, the building of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will continue with that subject and all the virtues that are connected to Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, women entering the Masjid of Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 40 namaz, the extension of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the payment, the initial payment of that first plot bought and then the second plot, inshallah we will continue with that in the next session. Dua kallaya, du shayfullah. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.